Republicans in Washington say the American Health Care Act, which scheduled for a vote Thursday in the U.S. House of Representatives, will repeal and replace the Affordable Health Care Act. So it's a great time to ask Eric Borgerding, President and CEO of the Wisconsin Hospital Association, what that American Health Care Act, if it became law, would do to Wisconsin hospitals. Eric, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you.
Let's start with an overview. How many Wisconsin hospitals do we have?
Oh, there's about 130, 135. It depends on how you define hospital.
But how many for-profit, non-profit?
Very few for-profit, maybe two. And
maybe two.
Yeah.
Okay. And what percentage of those would you consider in precarious or dangerous financial position?
Well, according to the financial data that we collect, 29 hospitals lost money. We're in the red last year. And several of those hospitals have very high Medicaid volumes.
Yeah.
So we're talking patient volumes, anywhere from 20 to 50% are coming from the Medicaid program, which, as you well know, reimburses hospitals well below the actual cost to provide the care for those patients.
Yeah, Medicaid provides health care for 1 in 5 Wisconsin residents, and I know we'll get into Medicaid in a little bit. The number of hospitals, are rural or urban areas more likely to have lost money last year?
Typically rural, but it's not confined. It depends a lot on their patient and payer mix. So those hospitals that are losing the most money are those that either have a high Medicare or Medicaid volume or a combination of those two plus a high number of uninsured. People that come to the hospital have no means of paying their bill, yet they still get care.
How generally, now that we have 6 or 7 years experience with the Affordable Care Act, how has the Affordable Care Act, also called Obamacare, how have hospitals lived and adjusted to the ACA? Are they better off because of the ACA?
Well, it's a great question, and we're very objective in terms of how we look at the ACA. We look at how was Wisconsin situated in 2013, the year before the coverage expansion components, including Medicaid and others, went into effect, and how do we look today? And there's no question that since 2013, Wisconsin has seen some pretty significant improvements in both coverage. We've seen a 38% reduction in our already low uninsured rate in 2013. Mm-hmm. And that has translated nicely into fairly significant reductions in hospital and compensated care, well over $500 million per year reduction in uncompensated care, which means those are two good things, no question about it. The combination, Wisconsin's very unique. We took this sort of hybrid approach when it came to implementing, if you will, Obamacare. On the one hand, we rejected the Medicaid expansion included in Obamacare, yet we expanded Medicaid to the tune of 130,000 people, new childless adults in Wisconsin's Medicaid program, who are below 100% of the federal poverty level. I want to talk more about that in a minute. And then we also very purposefully, very specifically, relied on the premium subsidies that were a part of Obamacare. Our state relied on those to extend, connect low-income people, particularly those that were disenrolled from Medicaid. We expanded below 100% of FPL, but we disenrolled people above 100% FPL. So we were able to...
The answer of the governor was they would have access to the federal marketplace.
That's correct.
Excuse me for interrupting.
No, but you're absolutely right. And so that was sort of part and parcel to the Wisconsin model, which has been successful. The Wisconsin model of insurance coverage expansion. And so when we look at today, when we think about what's coming down the future, potentially coming down the future, it's those gains in coverage and the impact of those gains in coverage that we feel is the sustaining those is the absolute top priority in any changes to Obamacare. And I should also say, I don't think anyone should believe for a minute, if being objective, that there were not No one should believe that Obamacare did not need some fixes. If Hillary Clinton had won, we would be sitting here having the same conversation about making changes to the ACA, but it would certainly be a different conversation. So, it's not like
a political conversation.
It would be a conversation probably more focused on stabilizing the insurance markets and those sorts of things, things that would boost the exchanges, bolster the exchanges, try to stem the tide of insurers leaving the exchanges in many states, not so much Wisconsin. But the reason I say that is because no one should think that, you know, the ACA, Obamacare, was just sort of humming along nice and sound. It needed fixes. The question, obviously, today is, does it need to be repealed and replaced? And these are the things we're talking about.
Yeah, and before we get into the bill that could be voted on Thursday in the U.S. House, I want to expand a little bit on the number of Wisconsin residents that obtained coverage through the federal marketplace. And my source here is numbers from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, as reported by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. 2016, 239,000 Wisconsin residents obtained insurance through the federal marketplace. Of those, 84% received some financial assistance. 53% of those were women, but of those 239, 53% were ages 54 to 64, Eric, these are numbers you know, mm-hmm. and within that, one-third were within the age bracket of 55 to 64. What does that tell you about who got coverage under the ACA?
Well, it tells us that the ACA, despite its challenges, which I referred to earlier, is providing an affordable option. You can define affordability in different ways as well, because there's a lot of out-of-pocket costs as well. But if you're measuring it just in terms of people that obtain coverage that for the most part were uninsured prior to 2014, you can see that it is providing affordable, at least from a premium perspective, affordable options for a lot of different people of all age groups, of all income brackets.
So yeah, let's talk about the income.
Yeah, so that's you've talked about age, and that's an important
53% between 45 and 64, excuse me.
Yeah, that's an important
and
element
the income
of
component.
This. But when the Wisconsin model relied even more so on the fact that the premium subsidies, the assistance for people to purchase coverage on the exchange, to be able to afford premiums on the exchange, is based upon income. And that's a critical point for Wisconsin, because number one, we rejected Obamacare Medicaid expansion, which means we did not have Medicaid available for a lot of these very low income people that are now getting coverage on the exchange,
yes,
with the help of income based subsidies. Second of all, I think that states like Wisconsin that rejected Obamacare Medicaid expansion are going to be hurt the most by a shift from income-based more to age-based subsidies. Again, it's because we rejected Medicaid as an option for those very low-income people above 100% FPL. Instead, we relied, and it's worked, we relied on income-based subsidies for those low-income people to purchase coverage in the exchange. So I get it. You know, a lot of people do not like Obamacare, want to repeal Obamacare, but the fact is, the income-based premium subsidies in Obamacare have been an important element of Wisconsin's very intentional approach to expanding coverage, and it's resulted in a 38% reduction in
now,
the insured.
Now let's get into the position of the American Hospital Association and your Hospital Association. What's your position on the bill that could be voted on Thursday in the U.S. House?
Very, very concerned about it. Ironically, I think you look at that bill, and it continues to penalize states. A state like Wisconsin is essentially being penalized for rejecting Obamacare in a bill that is repealing Obamacare, as odd as that sounds. So what I mean by that is, first of all, what we've already discussed, the importance of those income-based premium subsidies for a state like Wisconsin.
Right now, going to an age-based, we are, when you look at our demographic profiles, we're an old state, and especially in rural areas, northern Wisconsin, and we're going to become older. So that is a huge part of this dialogue in the potential American Health Care Act. Excuse me.
Oh, it absolutely is, and there's no question that older, low-income people are the ones that really need these subsidies the most. And that's the track Wisconsin was going. We were relying more on income than age to provide. But, you know, obviously there's a lot of low-income older folks. So that Without question, that is a income-based subsidies are an important part of the Wisconsin expansion coverage expansion story, and those are certainly in danger of going away under the AHCA. The other piece that I think really sort of underscores this Wisconsin being penalized perspective is that we expanded Medicaid. No question about it. We added 130,000 people to Medicaid below 100% of the federal poverty level. That is costing Wisconsin taxpayers, Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, by our calculation, $280 million in general purpose revenue every single year. The reason it's costing us that much money is because the Obama administration defined expansion as up to 138% of the federal poverty level. So because of that definition, the fact that we added 130,000 people to Medicaid, we added more people to Medicaid than five or six of the states that actually took the Obamacare Medicaid expansion. Because we expanded Medicaid our way, not the Obama administration's way, Wisconsin now is stuck paying $280 million a year for the same population, same exact population that all of our neighboring states are getting full federal funding to pay for. That is an important issue. That's $280 million that we could be using in the state to grow our physician workforce, grow our nursing workforce, train more nursing assistants, improve reimbursement under the Medicaid program, because right now we have some of the worst reimbursement in the country. Which ultimately
Wisconsin does.
Wisconsin does.
Right.
That's a state decision.
No provider increase in how long?
We actually have made some progress there through what's called the disproportionate share hospital program, but we're still a reimbursed just hospitals, not counting the physicians that our members employ. Just hospitals were reimbursed about $1 billion less than what it costs us to provide care for the Medicaid population. That's $1 billion that we have to shift to everyone else. That's my point. The ACA penalized a state like Wisconsin for expanding coverage the way we did. The AHCA, the American Healthcare Act, would perpetuate that that sort of arrangement. States that expanded Medicaid the Obamacare way are allowed to continue receiving their enhanced federal funding for years, until that population.
I think it's
sort of
2020, right?
Well,
as
people come off, you don't get that expanded match rate anymore as people come off for that person that goes off. So it'll take some time to wind down. But my point is, these are dollars that Wisconsin absolutely deserves to receive that we could put to very good use for our health care here. But those are going to other states, and that will continue under the AHCA.
Well, I want to ask you about one provision of the American Health Care Act. And when the CBO scores it, saying that 14 million more would not have health insurance within a year, let me ask you about that. Is your national and your statewide trade association afraid that people without health care, whether they're young and think they're immortal and so healthy they don't need it, or whether they can't afford it, are you worried that when they have acute stroke, heart attack, diabetes, acute care needs are going to show up in the emergency rooms of your hospitals?
Yeah, without question. That is the issue.
And they have been getting the care under the ACA, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so
what does that mean? Play that out for me.
So, as I mentioned earlier, Wisconsin's seen a 38% reduction and the number of uninsured. That translates into people getting care, people seeing primary care doctors, people hopefully becoming better about better sort of patients and better consumers of health care and getting health care in the more appropriate places, which is not the emergency room. When you lose your insurance or you've never had your insurance, we know from the data and the statistics that most people come to the ER. The most costly place to get health care in Wisconsin. Even more costly when you have no insurance. And again, I go back to that cost-shifting issue. So when we see our uncompensated care,
which you score at $1 billion under the ACA.
From Medicaid.
Okay.
We've seen almost a $600 million reduction in uncompensated care because more people have insurance.
That's important. A $600 million reduction in uncompensated care.
Correct.
Which means your hospitals are getting more payment for the services they provide.
Right, and those are often services that they may have been providing previously, but we're not getting reimbursed for. Now, that's not all going to go away. Not everyone who has coverage today under Obamacare is going to lose their coverage under what comes next. So, you know, when I talk about that number, I'm not saying that that's all going to go away, but there's no question that, I mean, just look at the CBO, and we've been looking at the numbers ourselves. We take the CBO numbers, we look at other extrapolations of the CBO numbers, and we're looking at probably about 300,000 people that could be could lose their insurance between now and 2026.
In Wisconsin?
In Wisconsin.
Okay.
And by the way, that is, we're actually, that's a smaller number than what the CBO estimates, because the CBO is building into that an assumption that Wisconsin would have expanded Medicaid the Obamacare way.
Yeah,
I don't think we were going to be doing that. So we actually backed that assumption out of our own numbers, and we come to about 311,000.
311,000.
I think the vast majority, if you know, and people are attacking the CBO, and I get it, you know, so let's say the CBO is off by 30%. Let's say they're off by 50%. It's still a very big number, and it seems to be very front-loaded over those 10 years. So we might see the biggest impact in the next year or two.
I want to ask you about another thing in the another conclusion in the CBO report. They say that for the next 2 years, premiums would go up 10, 12, 14%, but then they would drop. So here's my question. If the American Health Care Act becomes law, would health care cost less in Wisconsin 4, 5, and 6 years out?
Hard to say, Steve. It's hard to project what will happen with health care costs. It's hard to project accurately what will happen with insured rates. CBO was off when they were projecting, when they projected how many people would gain coverage under Obamacare. They could be off on the number of people that will lose.
But they were off when they projected, because they didn't see the U.S. Supreme Court
That's correct.
Decision coming, giving states the flexibility to go up or down.
That's part of the reason they were off, but you're absolutely right. That's a very good point. So to your point, who knows what can happen over the next 10 years? Just like no one anticipated the Supreme Court was going to give states a choice of whether to expand Medicaid or not, which is what you're talking about. Who knows what will happen over the next 10 years? You know, I think we have to kind of think in 3-4 year increments. You look at the CBO's projection of the bulk of the people that will lose insurance, we'll do that in the first year or two. I have to, you know, also take that to mean that the bulk of the insurance increase, premium increases, will come in the first year or two. Who knows what will happen down the road?
We talked about more people without insurance showing up in hospital emergency rooms. But let's talk about the potential changes under Medicaid block grants. Because when I read the Kaiser Foundation summary, it says that the per capita is based on 2016 levels of reimbursements, our number of participants. Can you explain that to me?
Sure. Well, there's two approaches. There's a let's try not to get too weedy here, but there's
what's important?
No, it is, but it's really pretty simple. A block grant, by its typical definition, basically calculates a base level of funding, which is an important calculation. Trust me, especially in a state like Wisconsin, but the federal government will calculate a base level of funding that a state would receive, and then it would. And that would be essentially it. And you know, what goes into calculating that base can vary. So here's your funding, Wisconsin. Oh, yep. By the way, it will go up by X percent a year. So you have two really important variables here: how you set the base, and then how you set the sort of index by which it will go up.
Yes.
That's pretty much block grants in a nutshell. The problem with block grants, especially for a program like Medicaid, is they are inflexible. Kind of, even though they're based on flexibility, they do not reflect a lot of the reasons why a Medicaid population goes up or goes down. So when we have a down economy, people have lost their jobs, people are coming back into the workforce, but they don't have employer-sponsored insurance, or they're making very little money, those sorts of economic and socio-demographic factors with our aging population, those affect utilization and the population within a Medicaid program. Those are things that states, hospitals, doctors, health systems, those are things we don't necessarily control. That's a block grant. Per capita funding If we're going to cap Medicaid spending, which I'm not advocating, but if we're going to cap Medicaid spending, we think it's far more responsive to do it under a per capita approach. So in that way, you're pegging the dollar amount that a state will receive on a per person average, not sort of on just a hard fixed dollar amount. The AHCA made some important and welcome steps as it relates to per capita funding. We still have some strong concerns about it, but one of the concerns is that you have some very high cost populations within the Medicaid program. The elderly, blind, and disabled account for a lower fraction of the population in Medicaid, but also consume a large percentage of the total funding.
Isn't it more than 80%?
It's I have it handy. It's okay. it's up there. I mean, it's way up there.
Yes.
They have high costs. They have high needs. They have high costs. The problem under a block grant is those high cost populations can quickly crowd out available dollars, available resources for every other Medicaid population, including children, childless adults, and others. A per capita approach gives states a little more flexibility in dealing with that dynamic. The AHCA actually includes a higher index rate of increase,
medical
CPI
plus 1%,
for some of those higher cost populations.
That was part of the amendments adopted yesterday, offered yesterday.
The plus one was added yesterday. They were sort of siloing, if you will, some of these populations within the per capita approach. But that's very positive.
The Republicans in Washington say if we block grant or per capita Medicaid, it's going to give states the ability to best determine how to spend that money.
Can do that right now.
Okay, but Wisconsin has been, having covered the Capitol for a couple decades, we're considered pretty generous in our MA and the programs that we cover. Do you think block grant or per capita, whatever Washington decides, is going to result in less coverage, less care for our MA clients? And last time I looked, it was 1,197,000 Wisconsin residents.
Hard to say, Steve. Wisconsin... One of the benefits, if you will, of Wisconsin not expanding Medicaid a la Obamacare is that we don't have people on Medicaid between 100 and 138% of FPL that will eventually go off. That is one of the factors in the CBO's calculations of the people that will lose insurance. We will, according to the CBO and according to other extrapolations, Wisconsin will see people lose Medicaid coverage. I think it's for factors other than the fact that, you know, we didn't expand. If we'd expanded, people would be coming off. So, you know, I think that the governor has said it's not his. He doesn't want flexibility in order to cover fewer people. I think from the governor's perspective, we want to reduce our Medicaid population by getting people jobs and work with benefits and that sort of thing. Great ideal. Great idea. The ultimate Medicaid reform is a job with benefits. But we'll have to wait and see how that works.
One of the amendments yesterday.
But can I just add one thing?
Please.
I think our bigger concern, in addition to people possibly losing Medicaid coverage or all of the rejiggering that's going to have to go on within the Medicaid program to still cover the people we cover today. I mean, I wouldn't say Wisconsin's particularly a generous program. We only Medicaid is available to people below 100% of FPL. That's about $11,900 a year.
When I said generous, I thought we offered basically all the programs and services that you could. 25 out of 26, but
yeah,
that's going too deep into the weeds.
But that's probably true, and I know that you know, in a lot of efforts, you've been around a long time, you've seen this come and go. Every time you kind of look at those benefits, there's really not a lot of savings by getting rid of some of those. But theoretically, you would have more flexibility to do that sort of thing, or require people to get job training, or require people to be looking for a job, or require people to get drug tested. Those are the sorts of things I think that can diminish our Medicaid roles. Fine, but when those people need care, where do they go? They go to the ER. The other thing I wanted to say, though, is Medicaid is one thing. The income-based premium subsidies on the exchange have delivered, subsidized premiums on the exchange have delivered more coverage in Wisconsin, more coverage growth in Wisconsin than Medicaid expansion has. And so We don't know what's going to happen with our Medicaid population going forward because we did not expand. But our equal, if not bigger, concern is what happens to those who have obtained coverage on the exchange when they lose an income-based subsidy.
The WHA, are you trying to further amend the U.S. House bill? Do you want it dropped? I mean, you have to live in a world of political realities. What type of offense are you playing?
Well, I think we absolutely think it needs to continue to change and to reflect and preserve and sustain the Wisconsin model. I agree with Governor Walker. He has said he supports repeal, but he says it still needs work. There's more that needs to be done. I'd say we at a minimum agree with that statement. I think there's a lot more work that needs to be done to preserve the coverage gains that we've achieved here. I've talked about the ways that that happens. How are the premium subsidies allocated? If they're going to be just based on age, then we're going to lose those low-income people that aren't older. And I think it's really important that Wisconsin be treated fairly when it comes to Medicaid. We'd be given equity. We're seeing now states like New York cut special deals in order to get...
Right.
I mean, we did this 7 years ago.
The county saved $3 billion, but the state of New York would pay that $3
billion? Listen, it's 7 years ago when Obamacare was passed, there were a number of special deals. There was the Bay State boondoggle, which is a special deal for Massachusetts, which has caused Wisconsin to lose millions of dollars in Medicare reimbursement. There was the Cornhusker kickback, the Florida deal. I can't remember what that one was called. So we're kind of back here again, and we kind of stand here and we look at this and we think, okay, New York's getting taken care of. I don't know who else is getting taken care of for their votes. In the meantime, Wisconsin continues to pay $280 million a year simply because we did the right thing in adding 130,000 people to Medicaid. And we rejected Obamacare. Again, Wisconsin being penalized for rejecting Obamacare in a bill that repeals Obamacare.
Okay, two final questions. We're almost out of time. If the American Health Care Act that the House may vote on Thursday, if it becomes law unchanged, what does hospital coverage in Wisconsin look like in 4 and 5 years?
All I can do is look at the estimates and hope that they're not completely right, because if they're correct, then we'll see. Again, we did our own extrapolation. We actually have a lower number than
311,000. I wrote
311,000. The bulk of those probably coming in the first year or two. We're still looking at that, but I see no reason why Wisconsin would be any different than any other state in the CBO.
And the
projection.
Rural-urban mix in your 311,000.
Yeah,
biggest loser, County of Milwaukee.
Biggest sort of loser in terms of just sheer numbers is Milwaukee County. But I'm glad you brought that up. On a per capita basis. Exchange coverage, subsidized exchange coverage has delivered more care to our rural parts of the state than anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So again, ironically, you kind of look at this and everyone thinks of our urban areas, and they should, because some of them are 50-60% Medicaid, high levels of uninsured. Obamacare has delivered affordable coverage for those areas, but on a per capita basis, the impact is the greatest in rural parts of Wisconsin,
and
particularly
the
northern and western Wisconsin.
The final question. You've heard President Trump and you've heard Republicans in Congress say, if we don't do something much like the Health Care Act, the Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, is just going to collapse. It's collapsing now, the president said. Is that an accurate portrayal of the future of Obamacare if this repeal and replace isn't signed into law?
Hard to say. I cannot disagree with anyone who says that Obamacare had problems. I said that at the beginning of the interview. I think it's an important point. No one should be engaging in this debate and assuming that Obamacare is perfect and that's what's this perfect health care plan is what is at stake. It wasn't. It needed fixes, especially on the insurance side. So, to answer your question, if nothing passes, I think, all you got to do is read the newspapers over the last year to see what's been happening, especially with insurer participation in the exchanges, what's been happening with premiums on the exchanges in certain states, driven in part, large part, by the fact that we didn't have enough young people enrolling. The projections for the number of young people enrolling are way off. And that's important in terms of premiums and sort of the cross-subsidization that goes on in insurance. So, if nothing happens, I think that nothing, zero, then I think it's probably accurate that Obamacare, as it stands today, will continue to deteriorate. The question is it this, the AHCA, or nothing?
Right.
And if the AHCA can't pass, then the question, and by the way, all of its following legislation that will come with it, we're focusing on this one bill.
Right, but the Republicans say it's going to be a three-bill package.
And that's true. And there's going to be administrative changes that are made administratively through CMS, which has a great deal of power. So, you know, I think that's an important point to recognize also. This is the first sort of iteration of this, the most important one by far, but the first sort of round of Obamacare repeal and replace. But back to my point is, if this fails, then the question becomes, okay, what do we do now?
Right.
What do we do, if anything, to stabilize the markets? Because I personally think in 2 years, 2018, it's going to be very hard to point back at the namesake of this bill, who's been out of office for 2 years, and say it's his fault, when there are known problems about Obamacare that that could have been fixed with something maybe more in the middle.
So, in summary, Wisconsin has a lot riding on the debate over repeal and replacing Obamacare.
I would say Wisconsin probably has more than most states, because we did, in fact, expand Medicaid, and we're getting the short end of the stick when it comes to funding for that program, not to mention the fact that we have heavily relied on the subsidies in the exchange to provide affordable coverage for those low-income people that we remove from Medicaid.
Eric Borgerding, President and CEO of the Wisconsin Hospital Association, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.